and put my thought on the board. It's my thoughts, your thoughts. So I'd like to turn to the 55th chapter of Isaiah. This is a very outstanding scripture to me. It's, I want to get a couple verses back. It says in the 6th verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Then it says, or because. There's something important about that. For my thoughts. That's the Lord speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. You don't think like I think. You know, it is really important what you think. It's why you do what you do. God made us with a very outstanding quality in His creation. The ability to put numbers in a column. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. The ability to think and to be able to deduct from that information. God originally made man pure. He made him pure. And I believe that the information that he got was pure information. And he had a pureness in him, and so when you would sum it up, purity came out of it. Righteousness and holiness would be at the end of the column. Because he was made that way. He was made to perceive things in that way. And know them in that way. But as we know, sin came into the world. And sin has affected our ability to always see things in the proper way. We are affected by the environment. We're affected in our thought process by what's happened to us in the past. I know that for myself. I've had to deal with me about thought patterns. I'll give you an example of one. When I was a little boy and growing up, I loved animals. I loved having dogs. I had probably all my growing up years pretty much I had a dog. And when I got old enough to make my own decisions, I had dogs because I liked dogs. Then dogs started causing me trouble. It seemed like the most trouble caused to me in my life was either my dog or someone else's. Problems between me and the neighbors was dogs. Biggest dogs. I got so tired of dogs. I know other people like them, but to be honest with you, I'm real reserved about dogs. To the point that it got so much with me that I would begin to feel an attitude about dogs and people with dogs. Till I got to the point that I said, "Lord, I want to think right." That seems like a pretty simple illustration, but I started sensing I'm not thinking right. I've been altered by the courses of things, and now it's totally reversed what I used to think. I think differently, and I'm thinking these thoughts, and it really taught me that we're manipulated, we're used, there's things that can affect us in the way we think. Now the Lord brought this out to a a sinful race, a people that have been touched by sin, and they have these thought patterns, and he says, the four is because of all that he says. Seek ye the Lord. You need the Lord. You need righteousness in your life. And all these things. Because you don't think right. You don't have the ability to add up columns and come up with the right answer. You don't have the ability to do it. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I know that's true. I believe this with all my heart. God created everything. I believe that. I don't believe that there's any lacking in His understanding. Scripture says that. There's no searching of His understanding. What that means is there's no end of it. He knows what He done and how He done it. Scientists are looking and saying there's black holes and what caused them. And there's these different things out there, quasars and all these things that they study out in space. They're studying and trying to figure out what's happening out there. God knows what happened out there. He already knows. His thoughts are so far. I done real well in math, so I come up to a certain point, and then certain point when you start getting into the calculus and physics and all that, it kind of perplexes the brain. And at a certain point, I never did understand the theory of relativity. somebody understood it pretty well, but I mean, some of that just taxes my brain. It don't tax God. But I'm not so sure that that's all of what God's talking about, that of the superior of His intelligence. I think it's also talking about the nature and the quality of what He thinks. God is holy. God thinks in a way of thought, a higher way of thought. God is holiness, and we're man. And we have a real problem at times with the way we think. But the Lord wants to help us with the way we think. You're around preaching by observation. But I do observe. And I've noticed some things that was always perplexing to me. It's always perplexing to have a real good Bible study and the congregation really get into it and input and really get it. And then before we even leave the chapel door, the very principle of it's broke. I've seen that happen and think, what did we just do? What just happened with what we tried to do? There was an understanding, a thought process that happened, but evidently it didn't go very far. But the Lord wants to help us today with the patterns of the way we think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And when we realize that, then we can say, come to the point is, Lord, I want my thoughts to be like your thoughts. And the first stage is to say they're not. They're not in nature, I should say. They're not naturally. It's not the way I see things. It's not the way I do things. My thought pattern is not from nature. You know what I'm saying? Pure. I don't understand it all. And then I'm affected by my emotions. The way I feel about it. The way I've learned about it. What I think is the best way to do it, through human reasoning and understanding. You know, that's why the Lord gave us a Bible. And that's why we're active with it. It's why when the minister gets up, he brings it. If our minds was perfect, we wouldn't have to. I don't remember it. Brother Leslie's done a good job of it. I admire it. But Brother Marty don't do such a good job of it. God made us all different. I'm glad for the book. I'm glad for the book. And there is something the Lord puts in our heart. We have it in our heart. I have a lot of the meanings. I can't quote it all exactly. I struggle with that. But the meaning's in there. I know what He wants. So the Lord wants us to help us, I believe, in the way we think. And I want to finish this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's pretty high. I want to look now at some incidences in the Scriptures and try to get from that the pattern of God's thinking versus man's thinking. Matthew 20. The first verse says, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye idle all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they had come that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And then when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is that I evil because I am good? You know, I've had people say, and I guess I, one of them too, I look at that, I've looked at that in the past, and I've scratched my head and say, huh. And I've had some say about this, you know what? I never could get that scripture. Because it seems to me like that there's some injustice there. In whose thoughts? And why? You look at that. Well, what I would say is the one that got the penny that worked 1 hour, he should have got a 12th of a penny. They being 12 hours long, and if everything being just, and he just come in there, that's all he should get. We know that there's more to this in the eternal purposes. God was really relating this to salvation. And what the reward of being saved is. Thank God for it. Thank God we ain't set up on some kind of a worthy thing. Whose thoughts then dictated? The men that had labored the whole day. I really want to bring this out to our thinking. To think God thoughts. To really think God thoughts. Because to my mind there is thoughts that was put aside that they should have been thinking. For one thing, they should have said to this man, when it was all said and done, I think he should have had a pat on his back. I'm talking about the good man of the house. He should have come up and patted him on the back and said, Thank you for hiring me today. You've helped sustain me. Thank you. My heart is full of gratitude. I thank you for hiring me today. That wasn't their heart and it wasn't their thought. They had the benefit and the blessing, but their thoughts went into there's something unjust here. Take this further. The man that was hired the last hour. Would it not be godly thought to say, the man had family, the man had children to feed, he had mouths to take care of, he was a man that was in need of work. What a generous man he was. I pray that if I stand all day someday and don't get the day's wages that I really need, I'll be thankful if there'll be a man like that. They should have encouraged this man. God thoughts would have said, good, pray, thank you. One day I may be in the need and I'd appreciate it for myself the same way. Thankful that you've done it to this one that's in need. I'm glad that you did it that way. That's God thinking. That's the way God wants us to think of one another. If we ain't very careful, what we'll do along with everything else is we'll become selfish and say it's all about me. Life is all about me. Ever since sin came into the world, life becomes all about me. And my thoughts is only coming from my own perspective of myself and don't even give way to anything else. I worked on a job one time, and being saved, I thank God for it because it's helped my attitudes. But I worked on a job one time, and I was making a certain wage on that job, and I felt like that I worked a plenty for it. We worked in the coal mines, and we worked days long, and we climbed mountains, and physically, it you had to work. And the boss got a rather, a cream job, they called it. One of the people that we worked for, I think it was a mining company, wanted us to print off these maps. We had these topo maps, and they wanted us to print off, it was like 500 of these maps or something. And they wanted them off, and they wanted them color-coded. And so all that you had to do on that was run off these maps and then take markers. And certain roads was to be red, and certain things was to be green, and that was that. And it was just to be colored. It was a very, very easy job to do. Well, the boss looked at that and said he was going to get paid a lot of money for it, for what we was doing. But the other work had to go on, so he needed other help, so he just started hiring anybody. I mean, it doesn't take much to run a crayon across. I mean, it didn't take much. So he started hiring. Oh, he got somebody off the street. He got another one of the guy's wife, and they was in there coloring. And then I found out how much money he was giving them. He was paying them more to color those maps than he was paying me for, and I'd worked there for years. And I said to one of the guys, you know, I think I'll give up my occupation. I'm going to start coloring. I'm going to see if I can take some time off here just without paying and get hired on as the coloring detail here. It makes sense. I'll make more money. And I kind of brooded over it a little bit. You would think that And then I realized something. It's all about you, ain't it, Mark? It's all about you. What about them? Is he evil? Is the boss evil for paying them? He could have paid them minimum wage, but he paid them really, really good. He wasn't being selfish. He got this deal and he hired some people and he paid them for it. You know, when I started getting it all in perspective, I appreciated him. I appreciated him. Lord, help us to have pure thoughts, right thoughts, to think right about things, not to always say it's about me, but thank the Lord that you would do that for them. I'm glad that they get the opportunity to make it, and some of them needed it. Thank the Lord that they can make more than that. He's willing to give more than that and give of himself. I'm glad that he did. But it's perspective. It's thought. The Lord said, seek ye the Lord. For your thoughts, they're not my thoughts. You're not thinking right. You better seek the Lord if you want to get this right, because the Lord's thoughts are right. And in this reading here, do you realize that you can get saved when you're young and you can work and you can labor and you can fight for faith and you can go through the criticism, you can go through the battles, you can go through all of that, and then somebody can die on their deathbed. I have heard people say, well, that ain't fair. Oh, it's fair. Thank God. None of us deserve it. I'm glad for God's thoughts, the way God thinks about it. Another time to come down and the boss had given us over the years, always give us a pretty good Christmas bonus. They call that bonus for a reason. You don't work for that. You have an agreement for your wages and a bonus is extra. So the boss would give us pretty good bonuses. And this one particular year, we got this little envelope with our bonus in it, and it was $50. And there was about seven of us at the time working for the company. And I remember the other guys asked, one voice murmured against that $50. One guy even said, $50? Why didn't he just keep it? And I remember I was kind of aggravating him a little bit. And I said, well, if you all don't want it, I mean, I'll take it. But you know, I listened to that for a while. I felt like the Lord said, go speak to the boss. So I went into the office and sat down, and he kind of looked at me, and I said, I wanted to tell you I appreciate the bonus you give us, a little extra. I really appreciate it. He said, Marty, I really wanted to give you all a good bonus this year, but we're broke. That's all I've got. He said, I had $350. And I said, well, I want you to know I really appreciate that $50. It's God's thoughts. We can get ourselves completely off. Another scripture I want you to think about. I'm not going to turn to this one. The story of Saul. Saul was chosen of God because he was humble. The Lord chose him to be king. Somewhere in that time, Saul's heart changed. And there came in his life a young man that was valuable to him. Listen, was valuable to him. And he allowed that to be his worst nightmare. The thing that God put in his life for a blessing was a young shepherd boy named David. And he came into his life and was making a difference. And Saul got envious. He didn't have God thoughts. He had Saul thoughts. And Saul's thoughts they were very envious and covetous. And there come a time that they come back from a battle. And these silly women went out into the streets and began to dance and sing. And they began to sing, Saul has killed his thousands. That's honor. But David has killed his 10,000s. Then what? Then Saul became, and he marked him in his mind, in his heart. He marked him from that day. They're exalting him above me. And I want to say to you, and challenge you in your mind today, what would God's thoughts be? What should have he have thought? Lord, help us today, because the very things that come into our life are intended to be a blessing, and we'll make them a curse through our thoughts when they're supposed to be a spiritual blessing to us. So the thoughts that he had became devious, and they become against God and against the purpose of God. Do you realize that he was fighting? Oh yeah, he fought it, David, but he fought God's will because of his thoughts. So, you remember how it was. He began to try to kill David. He couldn't do it. Who suffered? He did. He suffered. His thoughts. But I'm going to tell you, this is what his thoughts were. This is your thoughts, okay? Saul got an attitude. He got a disposition. He got jealousy. He got these thoughts in his heart. Okay? What should they have been? You remember how Saul died? He died in the hands of the enemy. Who was put there to defeat the enemy? David. Do you know that he should have said, thank you, God, for putting a man in my life that can kill the 10,000s. I'm only a man of thousands. And there it puts us all at jeopardy. But the Lord put in under my charge and under me and put in my world and in my place a man that can kill the 10,000s. a man of war, a man of mind of war, a man with ability, a man that knows what he's doing. Saul should have thanked God every day to have a David in his life. A man of courage, a man of faith. He could have drawn from that. He could have got such courage from it. He could have led Israel in such a positive way with it. That's what he... If his mind wouldn't have been selfish and hard, he would have took that. Folks, I'm going to say it in this realm too. When God puts somebody that in your life, thank God as I'm not a pastor, but as someone that has a mind, I would like to have 100 Davids around me. Give me 100 people that can pray a prayer of faith. Give me 100 people with a mind and heart that he had towards God. Give me 100 people like that. Yeah, they'll outdo me. They'll be smarter than I. They can quote more scriptures. They can preach better. They can sing better. Thank God for them. Give me 100. Give me 100 of them. And Saul allowed it to slip away because of his thoughts. He had the wrong ones. If he'd have thought God thoughts, he'd have thanked God for the opportunity to have a David in his congregation, to have it in his army, because he was a man of ability and of faith, and he lost it. We want to look at another scripture. It's over in Luke 9. I'm going to pick it up, 51st verse, 9th chapter of Luke. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now that was a 50. 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, as Elias did? Now there you go. Human thought. We got in here in the human thought. They got a cause. They got a cause, a purpose. They're zealous about it. And they got passion. And they got all that. They just got their thoughts wrong. They got their thoughts wrong. Wrong thoughts. They had your thoughts. They got the selfish thoughts. And so they're thinking in a pattern. We're gonna take this thing across the world. And nobody's going to stand in our way. And if they do, we're going to call down fire. We're going to consume you. We're going to take care of you. Thinking in several years ago, a guy came and he was flustered. He was flustered about what was going on at work. And he lived in a... I mean, he worked with some guys, real ungodly guys, and he came and he made a comment. And he said, well, they better be glad I'm not God. And I quickly spoke up and said, I'm glad you're not God. We all glad you're not God. Why? Because you're thinking in a pattern of your thoughts. And he ain't thinking in a pattern. Folks, listen. Get that out of your head. I know we can have trouble, we can have persecutions, we can have that. Give up the idea of, oh Lord, strike them dead. Lord, defend me in this thing, because the Lord's going to tell you when you do. He's going to tell you what he told them. They had human thoughts, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. You don't know what you're saying, and you don't know what kind of spirit is driving that pattern of thought that you're having. You're thinking in a way of destroying people, and you don't really even understand that if I would do that to them, I'd have to do it to you. For the same mercy that you have extends to them. Listen, folks, when we look onto the world, and no matter how depraved, we look at that. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus died for them. And the pattern of God's thought is to reach them souls, to reach them with the power and the blood of Jesus. And it is our duty and responsibility of thought to have faith enough to know that it works when it gets there. It will alter and change people's lives. And he told them right off, he rebuked them. You're of a foul spirit thinking that way. He rebuked them. Don't think that way. That's not what I came to do. Why would I destroy the very thing I came to help? For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Rebuke them. Now you all get your pattern of thought changed. And start thinking in a way of purity and holiness. And of the love of God. Think with the pattern of the love of God in your hearts. And you'll be, and then you'll change that way that you think about the things that you're doing. And the way you perceive things. Another scripture. Luke 10. Well, I found in life that one of the greatest challenges is people. You disagree with that? But greatest challenge that I've had in my life has been with people. People around. What people say, what people do. Our interactions, the misunderstandings, the things that you do in life. I think it's been common. Well, here's another scripture. And it can happen right in the closest places. Sisters. Right among sisters. Close. Sisters, always we think in the lines of justice, equality, evenness. Let's do this, let's split this, let's do these things. Again, Jesus was thinking different. In the 38th verse, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, and named Martha, received him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, what she was doing is what a lot of people do. They go over somebody, see? You want to get to the one that can make the difference. So she was going over top any authority to get to the authority. And it's like the one that runs to the preacher first, or the one that gets to the authority. So she went with her problem. I got a problem here. Now, Lord, you're one of... You speak, you know about things and all these things, and she went, no doubt, with the assumption in her heart, I'm dead right on this. I've considered it. I've been considering, I've been thinking, and got enough nerve now to go to the Lord with it because I'm dead on this. I know this is not fair. The Lord will speak in the way that people ought to be courteous to one another. They ought to help one another. And we're in a place right here, and I know now that I got it right, and I'm going to have the Lord straighten Mary out. Mary ain't doing me right. And she's beloved. She's my sister. But she's not doing right, and the world's going to be better. When the Lord straightens her out, from then on I'll have the kind of help from Mary that I need to have. And that's your thoughts. How often we get round up in our thoughts about what we're doing, never knowing any other side, any other desire, any other need. I'm going to tell you for a certainty, brethren, you want your wife to sit at the feet of Jesus, okay? Yes, you do. Sisters, you want your husbands to spend their time at his feet. You want your children there? Children, You want your parents there. Martha, you needed to have Mary there. You needed Mary there. The right thought process would have been, Lord, bless her good. Pour it on my sister. Oh, they knew one another. You know they know the needs that they have and the longings of their heart. Give it to my sister. Make her whole. Help her. And help me too. And she thought, her thoughts was as that the God's going to do something that I'm wanting to do. Yeah. Folks, there's a lot of people guilty of saying, I want the Lord to do this. And He's going to do this because I think it. And you know, that ain't what He's trying to do at all. Totally missed what He was trying to do. So Martha goes and says, Lord, get on to Mary for me. And the Lord, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, anytime you hear your name twice, you know what I mean. I mean, when you hear Martha, Martha, you know you've done it wrong. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. All right, now the Lord is interested in ministering. Okay? And right thoughts. So He's going to give Martha a right thought pattern. You're cumbered and careful about many things. Is that evil? Is that wrong? I don't think so. But what He was saying is, you've got this at the forefront, Martha. You've got something that's tangible. You've got something that'll never last or endure that you're being careful about. You've got your focus, Martha, in the wrong place. Do you think that it's really that necessary that we eat on time? Do you know what I'm trying to do? Do you know what I came? Martha, I came as the Son of God. I came in this world to give my life for people's eternal souls. Food don't mean that much. Not really. Put it in focus. Think in the right place. I remember hearing a testimony of Brother Veda had one time. He testified that they was getting ready to go to prayer meeting one night, and his wife was on the phone, and he was looking at his watch. And he was kind of agging, we're going to be late. It didn't like being late. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate someone that would say, it's time to go to service and it's important and I want to be there on time. Make a habit of it. I want to go to service on time. And she was on the phone. And he kept on and she was on the phone. His testimony was, that she was working with a soul. She was trying to encourage and bless and get some truth to a person. And his testimony is that he was trying to put the least ahead of the greater. That why you go to service is to get the kind of things you need so that you can do what his wife was doing. God thoughts. God thoughts. Thinking in a pattern. You're cumbered, you're careful. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. This is what it's about. Let everything fall around this. Let your thinking, let your thought patterns, let you know and to realize that it's most important to have God in your life first. Everything else is to come around God. The approval of God. What God wants to do in your life. What the thoughts that God wants you to have. How you think and feel about your brother, your sister, those that are around you. How you feel even about yourself. The thoughts that you have. That they're accurate. That they're not exalted in pride. But yet you are a creation of God. Not to be oppressed of the devil, but to be in a place of a child of God. Thoughts. And then to realize, no matter what God does for me, no matter how He does it, it's His mercy, it's His love. It doesn't make me anything greater than you. But it don't make me any less. We're all brethren. To think. To have the thought process right. To realize I couldn't even get out of bed if it wasn't for God. I'd have no strength to do anything. I buy His air every day. I drink His water. And the substance of food is what God has given to me to have. I'm nothing of my own. This is thoughts of God. To think. There was a king one time that thought he could do so much. Thought he had so much. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? That he looked around and the things that he felt like that he had accomplished and done. And you can read about Nebuchadnezzar in history. My understanding is he had a wife from a foreign land, and so she longed for home. And so Nebuchadnezzar, instead of sending her home, he brought home to her, and he had them built the eighth wonder of the world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and they created her homeland there, basically. And they piped water in, and the plants and everything was like her. And it was a wonder of the world. And he looked at that, and he said, "Oh, how great am I. Look what I have done with my own hands." That's man's thoughts. Anything you build, anything you put together, whatever you have, I'm going to tell you, it's God that gave it to you. It's God that gave it to you. A descendant of his that had forgot the lesson of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel told him, he said, the Lord, God, has your very breath, O king, in His hand. Whatever you think you are or that you can accomplish, have this thought first. God's God. God is God. He lets us live. He lets us make decisions. We can serve Him or not serve Him. We can do evil with... Do you realize the injustice to God? I want to tell you, think of this. The people that blaspheme God, they do it with His air. They do it with His breath. You think of the injustice. You think you've ever been done unjustly? There's people that curse God with the breath He gives them. There's people that use the energy and strength of the food that God grows to do evil and wickedly before the Lord.
That's right.
All kind of blasphemy and bad. And they use the very substance of God and defile it. Isn't that awful? But one thing is needful. And Mary's chosen that good part. I wonder what that must have felt like to Martha. Oh. You mean... Maybe I should be sitting here too. Maybe if I'd have sat here, I wouldn't have had this attitude. Maybe if I'd have sat here and got my portion, maybe I wouldn't see things the way I see them. Yeah, that's right, Martha. That's what the Lord's saying here. Because she's chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, it's all going to lose you. You're going to lose this. This will lose you. But Mary is getting something that will never leave her. She's got something eternal here. God thoughts. Got a couple more scriptures I'm going to look at. I think it's in the 21st chapter of John. Fifteenth verse. So when they had to dine, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Saith to him again, second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. I'm not sure of what Peter's disposition about all this really was. There is different ideas of what Peter was doing here. But the Lord still answered it the same way. He had told Peter, Peter, this is your duty. This is what I want you to do and fulfill. Feed my sheep. Be faithful. This is your job. Peter, from me, Jesus, from me to you, here's your calling. Here's your duty. Fulfill this. You want to be a part of this? I'm making it as plain as I can to you, Peter. Feed my sheep. I'm also making it as plain to you as I can that you're going to have to suffer things of doing it. You're not going to always just be free and everything. There are going to be people that's going to push you and do this. This is what kind of a place that you're going to be in, and this is what you're going to have to suffer for the kingdom. Follow me, Peter. Follow me. Folks, that goes for every one of us. That's how personal an individual it is. Do you know that Jesus did not run around telling every other disciple what he wanted Peter to do? Okay, I won't tell you what I want Peter to do. Just so you all know. And again, I don't know exactly, but it does say here, and there's some points in this. It says, Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth? And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now, again, it makes me to wonder, because there are some interesting things about this. It could have been real easy just to have said John. But he didn't even say his name here. It wasn't even wrote that he was talking about John. It just said that man, that the other fellow. He there. I don't know altogether the significance of all this. But Peter turning, again, here is the Lord giving instructions, giving him something, and he's a turning. All of a sudden, it gives me an idea. I'm not convinced of it altogether, but it gives me an idea that in some way, and the way that the Lord ends up answering, that Peter really shouldn't have been doing having some of the thought process that he was having. Whatever that it was, whether it was well-meaning or not, that his thought process was bad. He was concerned about what this other man would be doing. Well, I've got a calling on me. I got work to do. I'm going to suffer. I know this other fellow is the one that the Lord loved. This other one was somebody special. Could it be that he don't have to suffer what I suffered? Could it be that he don't have the same magnitude of responsibility that I have placed on me? So his whole purpose is to say, well, Lord, what's he going to do? Whether it was done in genuine concern or whether it wasn't, it was none of Peter's business. He was having a thought process that he should not have had. It was outside of his court of responsibility. It was outside of, and I know this is true because the Lord did not grant him his wish. He did not tell him the answer. Because you, Peter, you don't need to know. You'll just get in trouble with this. Your thought's wrong. Don't worry about him. Now listen to what he said. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now there's people that think that was signifying something, and maybe it does, but to me I know it just signifies it simply in this way, that he said, If I let him live for thousands of years until I come back, Peter, don't make any difference to what you got to do. I told you what it's going to take for you to fulfill my will for your life, and so what difference does it make if this man lives to be 2,000 years old? It doesn't affect you any. What if I would that he had tarried till I come? It don't make any difference. What's that to thee? There's a question that the Lord said, What is that to thee? How is that going to affect you? What difference does it make to you?
I'm going to tell you that whatever it is here, the right thought process is for him to turn to the Lord and say, that man back there, Lord, bless him. Bless him. Give him his proper path. Give him what's right for him in his life. I concede to you, Lord. You know best. This is my best path. Thank you for it. Thank you that you know what I need. I will accept the path that you have given me. And Lord, bless John. Bless John. He's been faithful. He loves you. Courage him. Give him courage. Bless him. Oh, I don't know. I don't need to know what you're going to do, but my prayer is for you, to him, for him to you. Bless him, Lord. Help him. You see the difference? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. They're pure. They're right. They're wholesome. You know, people look at people's understanding sometimes, and there is people even that will say, God isn't being fair to me. I'm going to tell you, God isn't fair in the sense of money. Some will have more than others. God isn't fair in the sense of health. Some will have better than others. God is fair concerning your soul, always. God is fair concerning what's best for you in your life. I have been amazed at it. There has been some that I have known, I could name you, that was afflicted their whole life living for God. Just afflicted. Oh, you prayed for them? Sister Virginia Myers, dear sister up there in Pennsylvania, been afflicted ever since I've known her. She's been down for years, suffering, in pain. I knew another brother Williams, Charlie Williams. Anybody know Brother Charlie Williams? He told me one time he was well up in years. He was like eight. Brother Humphreys probably knows him, but he was like next 80 years old. And he was testifying to us one time. He said, the Lord's blessed me. He said, I ain't had a drop of medicine in my whole life. And he said, I ain't really been sick. And I contrasted the two. God chose them both. God chose them both. Human thoughts? Well, that ain't right. That ain't right. Should be divvied out. Should give them a little, here a little, there a little. No, it's not. God is right. God's right concerning our souls. He's always right. We'll look at another scripture. Let's see which scripture is this. I don't have that. It's in Philippians, the second chapter. Start with the first verse. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then it says, let this mind be in you. Let this thought process be in you. What process? Lowliness of mind, humility, serving one another in lowliness, preferring one another in that. That's God's thoughts. This is the book of God's thoughts. This is the way God looks at it. It's what God wants us to do. Jesus not only taught this, but Jesus lived this. Do you remember when the angels came and proclaimed it? This is just past Christmas season. You hear this a lot. Glory to God in the highest. Peace. Peace. On earth, goodwill to men. God's thoughts. This was God's thought process towards people. He wanted us to have peace. He wants us, scripture, what is it? 29th of Jeremiah that says, the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give to you an expected end. You know why the Lord told them that? Because they had been in the land of captivity. They were in bondage at that time.
And they was about to be coming out of that. The time had fulfilled. It was about to come out of that. And he wanted to tell these people that you're not in a place of my wrath. You're not in a place that I want to destroy you. It looks like that in your mind you may look into human thoughts and say, God has given up on us. I'm not giving up on you. This is what I'm going to tell you is my thoughts towards you. It's not of evil towards you. You look and say, I've been through this and I've been through that. Where is God? He's right where He's always been. And His thoughts towards you are of peace. They are of peace. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to this earth as a baby, born in a barn. That was planned. That just didn't happen. He taught us what He thinks. He taught us how to think. He taught us the pattern that He wants to follow. He could have come King of Glory. He could have come in the finest palaces. He could have set up something here that we had all awed over in the natural. He didn't do it because He wanted to teach us something. He come humble, lowly. Let this mind be in you. Now the decisions that I make, and Lord help us, there is decisions daily. There's events daily. I get they are for me daily. A daily. How am I going to respond? Anywhere from the children knocking over the milk cup. Thoughts. How should I respond? Just to a phone call? To this, to that? All these kind of decisions of how do I think about the things that go on around? How do I see them? The Lord entreated us, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You need to know what my thoughts are. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, and took on Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in closing, I want to at least bring this thought to consider. He became obedient unto death. You say, that is so foreign to the spirit of this world. That is so foreign to this modern culture. That's too radical. It's too far. If we are a product of evolution, I agree. But being products of the creation of God, I disagree. Because Jesus became obedient even to death. Death isn't the worst thing. Now listen, death of this body is not the worst thing that happens to people. As a matter of fact, it can be glorious. Jesus, or God, the Bible says in one place, as precious as in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. There is something about it. And I just wanted to bring that to you as a thought. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. You'll think sometimes in the preservation of this life for all that it can get. That's not a God thought. The Scripture says, if you gain this world, or if you gain this your life, you struggle to gain your life in this life in this world, you'll lose it. But if you give your life, you'll gain it. It's a total different thought. Where did that thought come from? It comes from this idea. Jesus sat in a corner of wheat, fall not to the ground and die. It abides alone. But if it falls and it dies, brings forth much fruit. He spoke that of Himself. This had to happen. And you know that's a process that's over and over and over. I say don't have the thoughts of the terribleness of death. But as one writer said, death is my best friend next to Jesus Christ. For that's what's going to convey me from this vile body unto the glory that I've been living for. Living for. Now you say that's a challenge, and I'll agree with you. But it's still a part of the God thought to give us victory in this life. You pray for me.